Amen. God bless you as you give. Remember, tonight, my Father's house, 6 o'clock. This is our 14th, 15th week. I lost track of now not only three churches, not just those that are in Assemblies of God. There are congregations. There are people coming from different churches and gathering there at 938 Chicopee Street tonight at 6 o'clock. And if you can make it, that's wonderful. If you can't, that's wonderful. But God is moving.
Jesus, lover of my soul, all-consuming fire is in your gaze. Jesus, I want you to know,
yes, Lord,
that I will follow you all of my days. For no one else in history is like you.
No one, Lord.
History itself belongs to you. Alpha and Omega, you have loved me, and I will share eternity with you.
Here's the key, church.
It's all about you, Jesus, and all this is for you. For your glory and your fame, it's not about me. As if you should do things my way, for you alone are God, and I surrender.
Sing it one more time, Chris. And if you know it, go ahead and sing it.
Your way.
It's not about us, it's about Him. Not my way, but Yahweh.
For your glory and your fame,
yes,
it's not about me. As if you should do things my way, for you alone are God, and I surrender.
Father God, we thank you. We surrender to you, Lord. We surrender to you. God, I thank you for this time of praise and worship. But God, this isn't just a time. Praise and worship is a lifestyle. So God, I'm just grateful that we can come together and praise you and lift you up. God, I pray, Lord, as we get into your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, God, that it would explode in our hearts and make the necessary changes that need to be made in my own life and other lives that are here today. And God, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Chris. I love this brother. He's just give it up for Jesus. You know, that's thank God that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Holy Bibles, that means Holy Bibles. Come on, stand with me, church. Stand with me. Smile. Amen. It's going to be all right. Read the last chapter of the book. We win.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on now. Make me know that I'm in the right church. We just began a study in the book of Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. And the Jews had just come back from their Babylonian captivity, and they've been set free. And if you're gonna study Malachi, you need to read Ezra and Nehemiah, about the time of Nehemiah, the rebuilding of the walls. And things had gotten messed up. Remember last week in chapter 1 that, God says to them, I love you, and then he questioned their love. Of course, we don't ever question God's love, do we? Yes, we do. You're lying. I'm sorry. But we do question God's love. Not anymore. Thank you. Amen. Yeah, that comes from Tito, a former atheist. Go figure. And we got our bride and groom here, too. Hey, if you're going to have a honeymoon, it might as well be in church. And at the latter part of that book, okay, it's like somebody making an announcement, saying, okay, there's going to be a forerunner and a Messiah that's coming. The only problem is, he's not coming for 400 years. And that's just the closing of a chapter in the Old Testament. In 400 silent years, things were still going on, activity was still going on, but the voice of the Lord couldn't be heard. Have you ever got in a rough spot, church, where it seemed like heaven was brass? Come on. Have you ever been in a time where it seems like that the more you're seeking God, sometimes it's really hard to hear His voice? But when you put this all together and how they came back, what this tells us and dictates to us, especially in this chapter, is a couple things. We're going to do some heavy hitting today, so you just might want to poke your neighbor and say, get ready. If you're T.D. Jakes, you say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. We're going to talk about the priests, the pastors, the leaders, the ministers that compromised. Remember we talked about the stuff that was being offered up, sacrifices, it was lame. And we talked about not giving God the leftovers. I don't want to give God the leftovers. I want to give Him my very best. And now these priests had wandered away and they had compromised the Word of God. And then they also began to intermarry with people that didn't know anyone. Yes, we are going to go there. We're going to talk about leaders today that aren't preaching the whole counsel of God. And we're going to talk about the sanctity of life and marriage. Between one man and one woman. I said one man and a woman. A man and a woman. If you're here and you're living in an alternate lifestyle, we love you in Jesus' name. But one man, one woman for a lifetime. Now I understand that some of you have come through tough situations. Divorce, remarriage, all kinds of stuff that's happened. Now you can take that and you could just sulk for the rest of your life. I don't know about you, but I've done some things in my life. You've done some things in your life. You just cannot change them. But where you are now, make that the time, hallelujah, that you settle it with God. And for heaven's sakes, if you're not married and you're living with somebody, get married. Uh-oh, Pastor, you shouldn't talk like that. Somebody's got to talk like that. And if you're here and you're single and you've gone through hell and high water and you've been divorced and you're just saying, God, I feel like I'm out to pasture. Nobody cares about me. You put Him first. You're married to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You let him deal with your life. Get your head off the carpet. So we're talking about tough stuff. So don't leave here with a big guilt complex. I'd have to say get over it then. But I won't say that. Wherever you are in life, start now and be the best husband you can be and the best wife you can be. And for heaven's sake, keep it in order. That's all free. That's not even the introduction. Father God, have your way. Speak to our hearts. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's read the Word of God. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, chapter 2. And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessing. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Beloved, if ever we need to take the things of God seriously, it's today. If you're somewhere vacillating somewhere, stop vacillating. For heaven's sake, get all in or all out. There's no such thing as fence walking. We need to be serious about the things of God. Somebody just slipped out into eternity without Jesus Christ, and the church needs to be the church. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces. We'll talk about that. the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi, that's the Levitical, that's where it came down through the priests, through Levi. And then ultimately, you know, through that chain that would ultimately give us that Messiah, praise God, in the Lion of the tribe of Judah. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I give them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me, and he stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest, should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. He is to be a messenger. Remember, Malachi means messenger. We need people that are going to stand behind the pulpits today and love God with all of their heart and love the people and preach the truth. We don't want to water this stuff down. I got to stand before God. And I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of shaking going on to know that I got to stand before him and give an account. And we've got some people today that are so worried about their salaries and so worried about how many people in church that they cower down to preaching the truth. Come on, church, we need this. I need it. Go ahead and sit down. You can read the rest of it. Go ahead. Go ahead. I want to get into this. It's just something that I want to get into today because we see here some parallels in the Word of God. We see an important time in which God was moving by his precious Holy Spirit. He was pouring in the wine and the oil, the kind that restores the soul. And beloved, I don't know about you, but I need God to move in my heart like I've never experienced him in my heart and life ever. I am at a stage right now where I am not ready for retirement. I'm ready for refinement. And we see here unfaithful priests and broken marriages. Do you realize, I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I got to pace myself. What God does here is God exposes and he condemns the unfaithful priesthood of Israel. They have become unfaithful. And today we're seeing that. Listen, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of God. You know, don't just listen to someone because they got REV before their name or Dr. Ho so-and-so or whatever. Make sure that anything I say matches up with the Word of God. Anything else anybody else says that calls himself a preacher and a teacher of the Word matches up with the Word of God. That's so important. There are wolves coming in sheep's clothing. There are people that are dispersing part of the Word of God. Listen, we could pack this out. If I only talked about prosperity and God's love, that you know, it's wonderful, and isn't this great? And it is. I believe in the love of God. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes? You know John 3:16? Quote it with me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now my wife doesn't have just one good quality. She has many good qualities. So therefore God has a lot of characteristics. And so therefore we need to preach the whole counsel of God. Not just the love of God. Not just so I can say I can have sloppy agape. Agape meaning the most profound definition of love. The highest form. And I could just take God's love and say, okay, God loves me. I can go out and live like the devil. And I could just confess and say all this and that. Listen, that's living on the edge. We don't want to tempt God. God loves us, but he's also a holy God. Come on, church. He's a just God, is he not? He is a holy God, a just God, wherein dwells righteousness in his life. So these priests had ceased to preach the Word of God. A little while ago in the first chapter, talking about the love of God, then they're questioning the love of God. Then they started offering as sacrifices on the altar all the things that were lame. And you know what? I've asked God to forgive me. There's times in my life where I've given God the leftovers. Now, I like leftovers. Gail's Italian. She doesn't believe in leftovers. I said, please don't throw that away. You know, I'll eat it. And you can tell. But I'm working on it. I got back to the gym this week. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm getting back at it. Because I know bodily exercise profits a little, but God wants us to take care of ourselves too, all right? That's for another time, so you're safe. But God threatens to severely rebuke a wicked priesthood. Because they were tiptoeing through the tulips. They were showing partiality. We talked about it in Acts, you know, when the widows were not being served properly, and how the church could have been split over that, and how that God chose seven men filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and they got that thing straightened out. How many know that the devil doesn't step outside the church? He's inside the church. He wants to try to divide and weaken. But united we stand, divided we fall, and we're closing the gap and we're locking our shields, and the enemy's not going to get into new life and try to disperse anything that God's doing, because we are on watch and we are on guard. Hallelujah. Someone comes to you with gossip, you know what, and you let it go, then you are a gossiper. But if someone comes to you with gossip and you stop it right there, then God will bless you. Amen? That's just free too. Said, now, O priest, the commandment is to you. If you will not hear, if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts. And go on and read that whole aspect of it. It says, if you will not hear, if the priest will not hear and repent, God promises to curse their blessing. I don't want my blessing to be cursed. I don't want to live under a curse. Are you still here? I lived under the curse of sin. Maybe someone's here today and you've not given your life to Jesus Christ. God sent his son to die on the cross for you, that he gave it up for you. If it would have been just you, he still would have gone and laid down his life. They didn't take it. He laid it down. He could have called 10,000 angels. Amen? So I'd say, if you're not in, if you haven't confessed or professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sins and let him come into your life. And let him bring about that change that is necessary. You see, I want to be under a blessing. I don't want to be under a curse. Turn to your neighbor and kind of poke him easily and just say, make sure you're under a blessing and not a curse. It's important. It's important. Because you do not take it to heart. If ever we need to take the things of God to heart, if ever we need to be all out for God, it's today. We're living in a day and age that beggars description. It's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, isn't it? I mean, now we're calling wrong right and right wrong and all kinds of things. You say, that's happened, but it's more profound now. Do you know that we're labeled, Christians, conservatives are labeled, and we are being attacked by the media and by leaders in society because we are Christians. Christians. Well, I say that we ought to be armed and dangerous. We ought to be armed with the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. I do not want to stand up here and take the Word of God. There are people today that are preaching the Word of God, that don't believe in the authenticity of the Word of God. They don't believe that it's inerrant, that it's without error, that it's inspired, and it's a pick and choose, and it's a gospel to attract people and make them feel good. And listen, I don't want to make you feel bad, but I want to make sure I preach the whole counsel of God, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And this wasn't happening there. They were watering it down. They were offering up lame sacrifices. Because you do not take it to heart. Their sin all goes back. You know what it goes back to? What we fall into. Formalism. The Spirit of God spoke to us today and said, I'm here. He spoke to us and said, I'm here. Beloved, if he says I'm here, then we ought to respond. Amen. I'm not saying you got to get up on the chair and shout, and you know, but respond, even if it's in the quietness of your heart. I want to respond to him. I don't want to compromise anything. And that's what happened. There was unfaithfulness in the priesthood, and we've seen it. It's not just happened to the Protestants. It's happened to the Catholics, where there's not been integrity you know, there's probably not a, you know, anywhere you could trace it other than the fact of people following and presenting something that is supposed to be true and not presenting it, or presenting it and not living it. There's not a person in this house that could say that I have lived this 24/7 every day of my life. You and I have sometimes deviated from that which God has given us, but we need to get back on track and we need to live it. Hallelujah. Not just preach it down somebody's throat, but live it. You heard it said, I don't want to go to church because there's so many hypocrites. I say, what would one more matter? Why don't you come? Come anyway. He said, I'll spread refuge on your face. Refuse, excuse me, not refuge. Sacrificed animals were still had their increment in their systems. And God said that they should go out and burn it. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus 29, 14. But the flesh of the bull and its skin and its dung, turn to your neighbor and say, dung. Not dung, but dung. You shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. So what he's saying to the priest is this. Listen to it. If you're not going to preach my word, that dung is going to end up on your face. What goes around comes around. We reap what we sow. No offense, I've worked on the farm. My dad was a farmer. I can remember, you know, when they had these big troughs down and they had this big slide and you had to put grain down and put some of that stuff down. I got too close and I slid right down, right into the water, right into the bread, right into all that mess. Better that than my cousin who was wheeling dung after the cleaning out the stalls in the barn out on this big ramp, and he went too far and he fell off in it. And that stuff was so fresh, he began to get up almost to his neck in it. As a preacher of the gospel, I don't want to get up to my neck in dung or have it on my face because I compromised the word of God. And that's about you too. We're about full gospel. We believe in this book. I preached it before from Genesis, and I was waxing eloquent. And I said, I believe the whole word from Genesis to Exodus. And people started laughing. What I meant is from Genesis to Revelation. Hey, listen, you talk about getting egg on your face. How about dung? You see, and that was still in that being. And they were to cast that outside because it was unholy. Listen. To take the things of God and not preach the full counsel of God is unholy. And the result will be we'll end up with dung on our face and we will be birthing stillborns in the kingdom. And then also right here, I love this next one. That my covenant with Levi may continue. This shows the motive of God's discipline against these ungodly priests. The Lord hoped that this would warn the priests back to proper respect and covenant. How many times? And today is going to be another time where God in his love is going to point his finger at you and say, I love you. And for the umpteenth time, I pray that you will not turn a deaf ear to him today. You say, Pastor, I don't know about this church stuff. I don't know about this new life. You know, you get a little bit too excited for me. And come Wednesday, we're more sedate. I don't know. Listen, I used to get excited about the devil. Come on. Last night, you were so great at that reception. It was clean partying without being sauced. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Well, listen, if you're in a dead church, get out of that dead church and serve the living God. Hallelujah. My covenant with Levi will continue. Verses 5 through 7. What a priest should be, the example of Levi. And it talks about it here. Read it. My covenant was with him. God promised Levi that the descendants would be scattered in Israel. This was turned into a wonderful blessing when Levi was designated as the priestly tribe and the priests were sprinkled throughout all of Israel. Beloved, if ever there needs to be a return to the Word of God, it's today. We shouldn't just pick up his word when we want to. We should make his word a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. You see, so it says, so he feared me. And I wonder, These priests were not preaching the truth. They were offering up that which is lame. And we offer God the leftover sometimes, don't we? And you know what? You know when God moves the greatest in churches? When the fear of God is in our hearts. I fear God. What do you mean? I revere him. I respect him. I don't just come into church and kind of flip him off and get flippant. Listen, there's nothing sacred about these walls. We don't have any holy oil here. Hallelujah. We don't even have the kind that pumps yet. But I'm here to tell you, he is sacred. He is holy. And when we come here, this is holy ground in which we worship God. We don't put our bubble gum on the bottom of the chair. We don't waltz in and waltz out. Hallelujah. This is a place where God dwells in your heart, my heart. But as for right now, this is a place where we've come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He is holy. And I want to return and understand his holiness. God uses Levi as an example for the priests. In the days of Malachi, Levi is shown to be an example of, first of all, if you want to write it down, reverence. We need to reverence God. We need to respect him. I love you, Daddy. You say, why do you say, Abba God, Papa Father. Abba Father, Papa God. He's my daddy. That's not being irreverent. He feared me and was reverent before my name. And then also, Levi was shown as an example of knowing God's word. The law of truth was in his mouth. Listen, if all you're waiting for is for me to feed you on a Sunday and a Wednesday, you're losing out. I got to feed myself. You got to feed yourself. You say, I don't even know if this book is real. Get into it. Start in the Gospel of John. Read it. Digest it. Hallelujah. It's God's word. Father, return new life and Pastor Wayne and everybody that's associated with this place with a greater love for you and your word. That we're not going to compromise it. And then another thing too, the Levitical priesthood here is godly character. He walked with me in peace. Godly character. You see, before I knew him, I was a character. Some of you all are characters. But you know what? When we came to him and we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we took on the character of our Redeemer. Men and women of God should be of good reputation and good character. Our word should be rock solid. Rock solid. You know, if I make a promise and I don't fulfill it, then I need to go to that person and ask them to forgive me. And I've had to do that before. You know, I'm not just sitting around twiddling my thumbs. You know, God is moving. He's on the move, and I want to move with him, and I want him to bless. And then the last part of it, preserving and promoting God's word should keep knowledge, and the people should seek the law from his mouth. The law of truth was in his mouth. You can look down. I'm going to give you some references. 2 Chronicles 31:4. And go ahead and read that when you go home today. And then Nehemiah 8:7-8. So God's word was given to the priests for life and peace, and they would be reverent before the Lord. Holy is our God. Righteous is our God. I feel his presence in this place today. If you don't, I feel it for you. Where two of them are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And God's presence is here so strongly. So strongly. Look at verses 8 and 9. You see, the lips of a priest should keep knowledge because priests hold and spread God's word, and they need to do it with knowledge. But it's not just the priests. It should be every one of us that have knowledge of God's word. And the only way we're going to do that is to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to get in the book. Amen. And then the book's going to get in us. Don't just let somebody disseminate the truth to you. You say, well, Pastor, I don't understand it. Listen, there are CDs now. They're dramatized, you know, all kinds of stuff that will light up your life. So there is no excuse. No excuse for a lack of hunger for the Word of God. And look at the contrast between the ideal and the real in verses 8 and 9. But you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble. I don't want to cause anybody to stumble. Is there anybody here that's a born-again Christian who loves God with all your heart that you really desire to want to cause somebody to stumble? No. I don't want I don't want anybody to stumble because of my life. And I know you don't. You're here today because you love God. So I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we all need to be encouraged and challenged. Because God wants us to be filled with His Word. It says, you departed from the way. The priests should have held the Word of God in knowledge and reverence and obedience, but instead they departed from the way. And therefore they caused many to stumble in the law. And I understand that's happened. It's happened down through Christendom. It will happen. We are clothed in flesh. You're not my problem. I'm not your problem. It's that stinking flesh that wants its way, that wants its will. Right? As soon as we say, God, we're going to serve you, then there's something about our flesh that just wants to recoil and doesn't want to do that. As soon as someone tells us to do something and it's predicated on the Word of God, we rise up and say, nobody's going to tell me what to do. But somebody has to point us to the right direction. And when we're pointed to the right direction, we need to stay on course. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before the people, because the priests of Malachi's day fell so far short of God's ideal for them, the people held them in contempt. Listen to me. God exposes and condemns people that treat His Word in a way that's not pleasing to Him. God rebukes the priests of Israel for their tenacious dealing. And we need to understand, have we not all one Father? Now, I want you to know, this phrase is not talking about, that ecumenicalism. You know, well, let's all get together and sing Kumbaya. No, it's about those who really know and love the Lord, that we make Him the God of our life and we make Jesus Lord of our life and we're serving Him. It's not talking about, the brotherhood of man and we all come under the same banner. Listen, this is all winding down to one church, one world order in finances and all this and the Antichrist. And listen, we're in the last days of the last days. Biblical prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Jesus is coming soon. And we've got to get smart in the Word of God. We got to put our nose in the book and seek Him. So what it's talking about, this is simply an assertion that because we are all made in the image of God, we must respect and deal honorably with all. You see, even though I might disagree with someone, I want to come together. You know, what God is doing in these revival meetings, it's not about one church, it's about the church. It's about those who are preaching and teaching the Word of God, coming together and glorifying God. Then it goes on to say, why do we deal treacherously with one another? Malachi is implying here specifically to marriage. But their sin of treason was yet beyond their unfaithfulness to marriage. Okay, so it kind of switches gears here. He's talking about the priest. He's talking about the leadership in the church. And then he switches in, and really he doesn't switch. He's just emphasizing that not only have you offered up that which is lame, you're compromising the Word of God, but now you are marrying those, you're cashing in your wife for some young babe or someone younger so that you can have children with them. Now, it's going to get quiet here. I know it is. Because after I said that, there was a holy hush. The first offense of the priest was marrying foreign wives. Judah had dealt treacherously. An abomination had been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah had profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts? And I know what some of you are saying. You know, I can date that person. They're not a Christian yet. They're not a Christian yet. Oh, man, I need somebody, but I'll just make it an illustration. See, I'm up here. We're going to pull them up to their level. If I'm up here and that person's down there, they can pull me down to their level. Listen, if that person's not born again, you shouldn't be dating them. Oh, Pastor, you're going to lose people. Darkness and light do not comprehend one another. If you're both not saved, come to the altar, welcome. We'll pray with you that you'll both have that relationship. Christ will be the center of your relationship. Well, he's a hunk, man. He's got rock hard abs. She's a babe, and all this kind of stuff. And I don't want to be loose with my lips, but listen, you know, it's a matter. I've seen it happen. We have someone that's married now because a woman took a stand and said, I cannot continue to date you because you are not a born-again Christian. That person is now saved, filled with the Holy Ghost in this church, and they got married. Hallelujah. Because someone had to draw the line. And God honored it. You see, I'm desperate. Oh, don't be that desperate. See, some women and men, you can just see it. Desperation. All over them. Be picky. Don't be unequally yoked. Come on. When we sin against our marriage or our marriage vows, we sin against an institution that God has established. Marriage is God's idea. One man, one woman for a lifetime. Now remember what I predicated everything for. You could leave here and beat yourself up for where you are. You can't go back and change anything that's happened. So where you are now, you need to deal with and grow. Listen, when we talk about priests, not only is it talking about the priests that preach the word of God, look about the priesthood, the royal priesthood. Look at the priesthood of believers in the New Testament. You and I are kings and priests unto God, yeah? Let's go a step further, men. You are the priest of your home. Yes? Come on, man. You are a priest of your home. Yes. Listen, I'm the head of my house. My wife's the neck that turns the head. No. I don't have that problem with Gail. And men, you shouldn't have that problem with your wife. Listen to me. I love you, ladies. But if you're in slacks today, stop wearing the pants in your home. And start yielding to the leadership of the priest of that home. And if priests in the home, you're dropping the ball, then pick it up and carry it and lead that woman so she can have trust in you. Woo! You're still shouting. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Because it's an institution of God. And you know what? Let me just tell you about what's happening in America. I think it was on Fox. There's a thought going around now, and before you know it, it's probably going to be a law. That now what they're doing is they're going to have, not marriage, it's going to be a lease, like you lease a car. Come on. It's in the talking stage. Now you can lease that woman. I don't know, lease her for 3 years. How sick is the day and age that we're living in? So then you turn in the lease. After the lease is over, then you can determine, do I want to lease her some more? How sick is that? Now, it hasn't happened. Don't leave here and say, hey, you know, go telling people it's a law. It's not a law. Read my lips. It's not a law. But it's spoken, right? And look at it. Look at what's happening. You know, I love gays and lesbians. I love homosexuals. I just don't love their sin. Anybody and everybody is welcome to this church. But we're not going to compromise the Word of God. It is between a man and a woman for a lifetime. God hates divorce, but divorce happens, doesn't it? Come on, we got to say that. Don't. Is that not true? That God wants, He wants us for a lifetime. He doesn't want a lease. How many know sometimes bad things happen to good people and even to God's people? Come on. So get your head out of the dumpster. Don't you think that this is beating you up. This is preaching the truth because somebody's got to preach it. Man, if that person comes up to you and makes all those promises and all this kind of stuff and you think if it's too good to be true, it probably is. Stay your ground. Be married to Jesus. Make sure the one you invited to your life. So priests of the home, you need to lead. You don't say, hey, listen, man, I can imagine Adam and Eve. And Eve is born, and he goes, whoa, man. Whew. Can I tell you? The other way, the parts just don't fit. It's not what God intended. I know that might be straight. That's not what God intended. We love people. I'm not going out picketing anything. I want to preach the word of God and love people and see them set free. We have people sitting in this church this morning that lived in alternate lifestyles, and they are not living alternate lifestyles now. They are saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey! I'm going to get pretty excited pretty soon. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, you who brings an offering. God promised to punish the priests who married foreign pagan wives and thought that it would not affect their service to the Lord. I've seen it so many times. I've counseled with so many people. Pastor, I wish I wouldn't have married that person. I compromised. Or I wasn't a Christian. Or I was a Christian. And how many know, even in a Christian marriage, come on, the both have to be going in the same direction. You got to be going in the same direction. The Word of God's got to be our guide. Awake and aware. It's a tough phrase to translate. But really, obviously, the Hebrew idiom is just another way of saying to everyone, be aware. Don't fall asleep. If ever the church needs to be awake, it's today. Everything's coming down the pike. And listen, can you imagine that? Leasing a woman? How sick is that? And I would say to you that I love you with all of my heart. But if you're living together outside of marriage, that's adultery. Make it right. We're not gonna kick you out of the church. We want everybody to come to the church. But if you're with that person and you're having intimacy with that person and you're not married, that is sin. And sin separates us from God. Amen? Hallelujah. Does God love us? Absolutely. But he has a word that has a standard, and we got to live by it. And the priest didn't want to preach it because they, you know, it's like today. We're interested in nickels and noses. If we preach too hard, we'll lose people and we'll lose money. I don't want to lose my life standing before God and having to give an account. Verses 6. Oh, actually, God commanded against mixed marriage. Look at Ruth 1:16. You can go there. Use that for a reference. That God's command was against mixed marriage in Israel. It had nothing to do with race. Listen, nowhere do I find in the Word of God that there cannot be interracial marriages. Now, you can have your opinion. Culturally, it can affect you. But in the Word of God, I find where it does not teach or preach against it. So whatever you're saying is your own thoughts on it. So don't you frown upon that. It's talking about those who are not unequally yoked and those that are marrying pagan people that are worshiping pagan gods. So don't make something because it's your opinion, a doctrine. We need to base it on the Word, church. Hallelujah. And look at this. Ruth was a Moabite who married a Jewish man named Boaz. But listen, but she forsook Moab's God for Jehovah. That's the difference. Isn't that good? That's the difference. That's the difference. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed? I hope so. Let's look at verses 13 to 16. We'll wrap it up when I get finished. The second offense of the priest. The second offense of the priest was a low regard of marriage. And this is the second thing that you do. You cover the altar. Listen to this. What an indictment. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and crying. So he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receives it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously with. Yet she is your companion and your wife by the covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit And let none deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. They were taking their wives that they were married to, and they were kind of cashing them in for something younger. Can I say to you, if you're married and Christ has a resemblance of the centerfold of your heart and life, never mention the word divorce. I said, never mention the word divorce. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. The enemy is not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. As soon as you speak it, you give him the opportunity to take it and seize it and to bring something against you. Some of you that are here, you're saying, well, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. Listen, the person that you're married to, you're married to. I'm going to say, stop it and quit it. And don't mention the big D, and I don't mean Dallas. And I got the car and she got the palace. That's an old song. It's country. And I don't know. I might dress up with a cowboy hat and boots to ride that pony, but I don't know. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, so he does not regard the offering anymore. The neglected and the divorced wives of the priests, listen to this. They came and they wept at God's altar, and with their priestly husbands then offered sacrifices on those altars. And you know what it was? It was an offense to God. They were driving those poor ladies to the altar because they wanted to divorce them. And on the same altar, they were offering up sacrifices. Listen, we better start offering up that which is holy. Hallelujah. Divorce is not the option. You're together. Stay with it, come hell or high water. You want to know what I really think about that? And men lead. Don't drive. And women, get those pants off and stop leading. I'm not against slacks. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When I wear the pants in my family, you know what? Never put your husband or wife down in public. I'm on this now. I'm riding this pony, man, right into the barn. Treat one another with love and respect. I'm tired of seeing guys with rings in their nose being led all over the place or driven. And I'm tired of men that have shirked their responsibility of being the priest in the home and leading by example. Let the church be the church. That which is broken, there's some things broken that you cannot fix. I have things broken in my life that if I could fix, if I could have gone another road, I'd have gone it. Only he can fix the mess we get in. Hallelujah. I wonder if you want to hear this today. So get your head up. Don't let the devil drive it down. Make the marriage you're in the best marriage it can possibly be. And I, you know, while I'm on it, man, I'm going to kick this thing. Women ought to dress like women modestly. As a pastor, I don't want to be praying for people and seeing breasts hanging all out. I'm a man. Oh, it doesn't bother me. Stop lying through your teeth. We are visual. Women, start. Godly women, dress like godly women. If people come in here and they're not serving God, you don't judge them by what they wear. You love them. And guys, we don't have to have the buttons all the way down here so our little hairy chest so. I remember my dad, you heard this story, muzzle here 101th time. My dad had one hair on his chest. My mom plucked it out and never grew back. I figure while you're getting a tough dose today, you got to laugh too. Come on. Loosen up. Tighten up, loosen up. What do you mean, Pastor? You see, what I'm saying is, you know, I'm tired of seeing it in the church. I mean, you know, stuff all the way up here. Well, that's my kid. Then get control of your kid. And listen, sweetheart, you're beautiful. You don't have to flaunt that beauty. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. I feel freedom in this house today. I like the book of Malachi. I'm liking it more. But you know what? I exemplify the priesthood. And I also shake when I preach this. Because I want to tell you, I've not always measured up, and neither have you. But I'm going to say something to somebody. Yes, thank you, Father. If you repented, and it's under the blood, why are you constantly bringing it up? If it's under the blood, leave it there. Leave it there. And for heaven's sake, forgive yourself. I can forgive you much easier than I can forgive myself. I'm preaching this to Pastor Wayne. I have a hard time sometimes forgiving myself. I can forgive anybody else. You can punch me in the nose. It might be a little hard for me not to punch you back, but I can love you and I can forgive you after I beat the snot out of you. No. No, the Bible says lay hands on nobody suddenly, right? Oh, Pastor Wayne, don't let this be eternal today, please. I'm glad Gail's back there working with the kids. It's going to be a whole lot quieter this afternoon. Can I tell you that I love what I do, but I want to really love who I am. How are you going to love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? Oh, I don't mean, well, look at me. I'm Joe Cool. I'm God's gift to humanity. Some of the ladies kind of strutting around. Can I tell you, you're not all that. The only way you can be all that is if you're all in. And Jesus is Lord of your life. Oh. I'm not waiting for Chicopee. Mm. He hates divorce. God hates divorce because it breaks a solemn vow. God hates divorce because it's harmful. God hates divorce because it illustrates apostasy and damnation. See, God wanted. You see, he didn't want anybody to sin either. That's why, but we fell, okay? So what happened? Let's learn from some things, right? Don't live. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And it irks me when they leave it right there. You better finish the verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is condemnation if we're walking after the flesh because we're condemning ourselves already. So I'm saying to some of you, lift your head up. Maybe it didn't work out the way you wanted to work out before. Make it work out now. Make it work out now. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. There's just so much for us to go into. Let's move on to, and I got so many scriptures, but it covers one garment with violence. Part of marriage ceremony in the Bible times involved the husband covering his wife with a garment as a symbol of protection that he brought her. Husbands, be protective of your wives. Wives, be protective of your husband. See, you might think it's cute the way you teach, the way you treat one another, but it's not cute if it's not God. And you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's the stinking flesh. And when you do that, there's going to be a lack of respect for one another. And when you lose the lack of respect, it's all downhill from there. You know what I've seen in Christians' lives, and I'm going to wrap this up. This is my 14th conclusion. I've seen where Christians become critical, and they don't deal with it, being critical. And that critical spirit gets a hold of them. Next thing you know, they hardly are ever around. They come up missing, and then they fall headlong back on sin. Seize, arrest that critical spirit and say, Father, create in me a clean and a pure heart. Don't let me be critical. Let me deal with things with my brother and my sister. Let me make it right. And you know what? Let me err on the side of grace and take the first step. Oh, but you know, I had this guy. He almost broke my nose at Bible college. It was Zion then. That was North Point. Played on the basketball team. And we liked the same girl. He knew it. I knew it. And I knocked the basketball out of his hand, and he threw it and hit me in the nose. That's why it's so big. That's the Hearts Grove side. There was a rage in me. And revival broke out, and I wasn't getting blessed. You know what God said to me? You go to Doug, and you ask forgiveness. I said, say what? God, you got this all wrapped around, all messed up. So I want you to go take the first step and ask him to forgive you. When I did that, I wasn't receiving anything. I've seen it happen. I've seen God move and people stand there stone-faced. Bitterness. Unforgiveness. When I did that, that released. And I tell you, I got blessed beyond measure. Beyond measure. Beloved, sometimes the gospel, according to our evangelist, is a hard pill to follow and a hard pill to swallow. But God will help us. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. This phrase is repeated twice because it's so important. The reason why the priest dealt treacherously against their wife is that they did not take heed to their spirit. Be sensitive. Be sensitive to one another. Amen. Don't just say, I do at the altar. I kissed you once, that's good. See, I mean, I have the utmost respect for my cousin. It's been a year since his wife has gone on to be with the Lord. She had a stroke. Couldn't feed herself, couldn't clean herself. He worked full time. Stayed up most all night for almost 2 years and stood by his bride until she took her last breath. Because it's easy to ditch one another when it's tough, isn't it? Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. The people of, and it's just a reverse here, that everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. No, everyone who does right in the sight of the Lord is good. Where is God's justice? Listen, God keeps the books. Simple as that. It rains on the just and the unjust. If you have been ill-treated or mistreated, keep loving God and loving one another. Because what goes around will come around, and the truth ultimately will be revealed. Amen? So hold on to that. Stand with me, would you please? Stand with me. The last words I want to share with you. You have wearied the Lord with your words. What is it saying? This kind of ignorant, unbelieving talk from people, from God's people, is wearisome to the Lord. It shows how much his people resist his truth and his work. Listen, God is offended when people accuse him of injustice. We serve a just God. We serve a righteous God. We serve a God who keeps the books. Tell you what we're going to do. I want to close this way. I want you all to come just stand here. Would you please? Just come stand. I'm not going to keep you long. We'll just close. We'll have a closing prayer. If you need Jesus, we got altar workers that'll pray with you. Hallelujah.